Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Stay Up podcast. My name is Jim Dachant. I'm author of the book Stay Up, Los Angeles Street Art. And on the phone with me today, I'm very excited to have Iskander Lefsefer from Lab Art, the founder and also the director of the gallery. How are you, Iskander?
Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for joining me this morning. How's your day going?
Thank you for having me. Good, good. Just starting.
Good. I think Lab Art is a... It's a fascinating gallery. We've talked quite a few times at the gallery, and I've interviewed a few of the artists involved, and several of them are in the book. And I thought today would be great to sort of pick your mind about the gallery, why you formed it, and how it's going, and the different things that you've learned since you've opened it. And it's been how many years now since you opened it?
Well, it's been a little bit over a year and a half.
That's right, because I remember you celebrated a year celebration.
Exactly. We opened in May of 2011, so a year and a half, actually.
That's fantastic. So can you tell me how did it all start and why?
Well, the reason it started was my little sister, who's my business partner at Lab Arts, Rachel, we were going around to shows, and we noticed that there were a lot of contemporary art galleries that carried one, two at the most, street artists. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a gallery that carried only street art. I mean, Jeffrey Deitch doing art in the streets at MoCA, I mean, he spearheaded the movement. And what we felt was we wanted to give street art a home. If you look at art historians or art critics, street art is frowned upon, continues to be frowned upon. And my sister and I, we wanted to give street art, I guess, the place it deserves in art history.
Yeah, it sounds like it's much more than just a business proposition in terms you're very much interested in its legacy.
It's so much more a passion than just a business. I mean, of course, you it is a business, you have to pay bills. But it's so much more of a passion. I mean, I personally love street art. I love the fact that, you know, an artist, when you look at street art in the streets, it's immediately cleaned off. It's immediately buffed. I like the fact that it can be eternal. The way to make it eternal is to have the artist do that same artwork, to transcribe that same energy onto a canvas or a wood panel or an installation that you can take home with you and that can live on forever.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, that's, I think, what is the draw for a lot of people who are collecting is that they recognize it and that it is a way to make it collectible in that way. So in doing that, what have been some of the obstacles in bringing artists inside that you've experienced?
Well, obstacles, as in every business and in every field, there are obstacles in everything. For my sister and I we do have the nation's largest street art gallery. We have over 50 street artists in here. One of the main obstacles is basically to have to choose who can be in here and who can't. We get 5 to 10 submissions a week. We would love to have everyone, but we just can't. The fact that, well, there's one thing, it's not really an obstacle. Outside in the street, apparently there's a lot of street artists that don't get along, or somebody paints over somebody else and they consider it a disrespect. The good thing about here is that they all know that whatever problems they have out there, they keep it out there. Once they come into the gallery, it's one big family. We all get along. Rachel and I treat everyone as if they're family. We try to help them in every way we can. We encourage them to bring in more artwork, better artwork. I mean, if you look at the progression of the arts from the day we've opened until today, just the quality of the artwork has improved so much. I mean, it's fascinating just to watch that progression.
I would imagine that in terms of especially when I see work inside by an artist that is just starting out and doing that from the streets inside the gallery, there are new problems and there are new challenges with having a work that needs to sustain attention over time and how you do that. And sometimes the same formulas don't work, do they?
Well, it's all based on trial and error, of course. I mean, I've had some artists that would come in here and they would bring in 20 pieces. And Rachel and I would look at them and we'd say, out of your 20, we're going to select one piece. Why don't you go and work on the rest? We've had occasions where we'd say, no, I'm sorry, we're not taking anything of these. You need to go and rework them. Or we would just take everything because for some reason it speaks to us. For some reason we know that it has a universal message that can speak to many people.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have a really good relationship with the artists that you work with, and obviously it's a lot of tough decisions in terms of what you show and what you don't show, and it's always hard to give bad news, and I think every gallery deals with that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so the other side of that is your collectors then, the folks who are coming in to purchase the work, and I know you've done some workshops on collecting, you've done some educational things, which I admire, but can you say a little bit about collecting and your philosophy on that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm a collector myself. My sister is a collector. I just happen to be one of the luckiest people on earth because I collect the artists that I like and I know them personally, and I sell their artwork. I mean, the thing about the collectors that we have is that there is no given demographic. We go from, I mean, our collectors start at 8 years old. We had a kid who was 8 years old, came in with his parents, commissioned Alec Monopoly for a piece. To 80 years old, to 85 years old. I mean, it's the spectrum is so wide that it makes it amazing. I mean, I've made friends out of collectors, and I've made collectors out of friends. To collect, the way I see it personally, don't collect for the wrong reasons. Don't collect for a financial gain. Collect because the piece speaks to you. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to live with it. And if it doesn't make you happy in some way, shape, or form while it's hanging in your home and you see it every single day, there's no reason for you to get it. That's the way I personally feel. What I love about what we do here at Lab Arts is we don't carry the established artists, although I admire them and I love their work, but we don't carry them. We don't carry Shepard Fairey. We don't carry Brainwash. We don't carry Banksy. We don't carry Retina. We carry the cream of the crop of the new generation. So basically, for the collectors, for a small, relatively small amount of money, you can start a decent collection. And who knows, maybe in 10, 15, 20 years, we might have, out of Lab Arts, we might have the next Basquiat, the next Keith Haring, the next Andy Warhol. You never know. I mean, there are some of the artists that are in here that I can already see. I know they will be shooting to the stars.
I understand that. I mean, it's essentially what you're describing is a emerging mid-career artist-themed gallery, which is very much a staple in the professional art world, and which is different from the blue chip or a gallery in that way. And it's something that works and something you need to develop collectors in order to run a gallery like that. So it's very much understandable.
Now, regarding
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I didn't want to talk over to Iskander. One of the things, obviously, quality is a big deal in terms of collecting, and especially when we're talking about galleries. But in the street art world, you hear the term longevity repeated over and over, and this is such a big deal. And it seems as though every artist that I've interviewed, it's, you know, how long have you been doing it? If you've been doing it 10, 15 years, then you know, you're legitimate. If you've only been doing it 3 months, you're not an original yet. You know, you haven't proven yourself. And so I look at that, and then I think that has no relevance sometimes when I look at the professional art world. And it's, no, it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, as long as it's good. And so I'm wondering, especially as someone who runs a gallery, where you stand in all of that, or if you, how you bridge those ideas.
We have had, my sister and I have had to implement a new policy regarding exactly that. After the documentary Exit Through the Gift Shop came out, all of a sudden, everyone, miraculously, overnight, has become a street artist. We don't take anyone that just walks in from the street. As I said, we have 5 to 10 submissions a week. It's a minimum of 2 years of being a street artist. The reason I say 2 and not 10 or 15 is because most of these street artists are in their mid-20s. However, we do have the youngest street artist in the world to be in a gallery, and it's Skylar Gray, and he's 12 years old. And it's been a year and a half that he has been trying to get into this gallery. And I always would look at his work and I'd say, you're not ready, you're not ready, you're not ready, you're not ready. Around 3 weeks ago, he came in with a piece and I said, great, now you're ready. Bring it in, frame it, bring it in. He brought it in, within less than 24 hours it sold.
Oh, wow.
That's
great.
So for me, he's my next Basquiat. If he's 12 and the work that he does compares to artists that have been doing this for the past 5, 10, 15 years, I mean, I can only wait to see what he will do when he's 22.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what was it then that, like, what was that? Can you identify what it was that, that line that he crossed in terms of it being so much more significant?
Well, it's just the, I want to say, excuse me, over the past year and a half, I would see him in all of the shows. And he would try to learn as much as he could from the street artists. And he would visit their studios. And he would ask them about their techniques. And I mean, I've never seen someone so enthusiastic and so in love with street art itself as this 12-year-old kid. And he's always been doodling and painting. And he came up with this image of Amy Winehouse, which I've seen around town. And he hand-painted on top of it, and he put it on a canvas, and he, I mean, it's just something about this piece of his that when I saw it, when I looked at it, it spoke to me. I knew, for some reason, I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Usually when I think in my head, I could hang that in my living room. Usually it's a winner.
Okay, I
think
see.
That's
yeah.
what, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And
so
and it works.
That leads me. Yeah, that leads me to go to ask you right away. So, who else is hanging in your living room? What other artists are in your personal collection?
I have quite a few pieces. I want to say two of my most revered pieces are one by Desire Obtain Cherish. And one by Alec Monopoly. Alec Monopoly is the Jack Nicholson, the most iconic. That is my favorite by far. Desire Obtain Cherish made a woodcut during the Egyptian Revolution a couple of years back. And it's a woodcut of an Oscar. And it's 9 feet tall. And at the bottom, it says best performance by a country, and the Oscar is holding the Egyptian flag, which I thought was brilliant on so many levels. That is one of my most cherished pieces. Who else do I have? I have everyone. Benjamin Alejandro. I have Mar, Thank You X, Scepter, all of them. All of my favorites.
That's great. Yeah, it sounds like you're just living the way you want it to way you want to live. You're doing exactly what you
like
want to do. And
I am like a kid in a candy store. That's what I feel every morning when I come to work.
That's great. So in doing this for over a year now, I would imagine that you've had some really wonderful successes and some certain high points and some certain low points. Every business does. Maybe you
Absolutely.
Could share some of what you've learned during this past year.
Well, what I've learned is, most importantly, you cannot try to please everyone. You can't. You have to always think of the greater good of everyone as a whole, as opposed to one person. I mean, that is one of the main things that I've learned, is you cannot try to please everyone. I've had artists come in here and say, excuse me, you cannot place me next to that artist, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. Outside in the street, nobody dictates where you go and place your. In here, the way I set up this gallery, when you walk in, there is artwork all the way up to the ceiling, and it's all random. There isn't one section per artist. It's all random because it's supposed to look like the way it is in the street. And when you try to get into the politics of it and say, all right, well, now I have to move this entire wall because this artist doesn't like this one, but at the end, you end up not doing anything.
Yeah.
And it looks terrible. So I've learned, you know what? I'm curating this place. My sister is curating this place. We just continue doing what we're doing. It seems to work. And the artists, I guess, have found out that it actually works because they come in here and get checks all the time.
And that's a good thing. That's one of the things I love about the field, is that it's okay to have that success. It's okay to show in a gallery. There's no shame in doing something. And there's always there is a side that's very romantic about it, in that street art only exists on the outside. But I've made the argument that street art exists somewhere between the world of graffiti and the world of professional art, and it seems to butt up against both of them. And there's a lot of contradictions in it, and but it's really wonderful to explore. And you very much are on that side of the professional art world that is scooping that aspect of the street art and making it accessible to the public in that way. So I think that's exciting. So where do you see the gallery going in the next 5 years?
Let's put it this way. When I said I wanted to open a street art gallery, not only a street art gallery, but the nation's largest street art gallery, people told me I was crazy and that it would never work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to sound crazy again. Over the next 5 years, my hopes, my plans, if my wishes were to come true, would be to have galleries all around the world of street art.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd like to expand to the East Coast, to Europe, to Asia. I would love to have lab arts all over the world and represent LA street arts everywhere.
Yeah, it's certainly not unheard of to have multiple galleries and to have a chain like that. And the most powerful gallerist in the world certainly does with Gagosian. So,
absolutely.
Okay, I understand. So is that one of the reasons why you've expanded into the Mondrian and you've offered exhibits in other places? Is that part of that business model?
Well, it's part of the business model, but it's also, the way I see it, it's more exposure for our street artists, for the street artists that sell lab art. I mean, opening at the Mondrian, you get a whole new demographic, mostly tourists, people who come from all around the world, who are not necessarily exposed to this firsthand. I mean, there is street arts all around the world, but I mean, I personally love LA street arts. It is my favorite.
Yeah.
And somebody who's here from Australia, who they do have a lot of street artists, would come here and it's completely different. And so if they're staying at the Mondrian, instead of going to a gift shop, they would go to Lab Arts. I mean, the way I see it is the more exposure, the better. The more people learn and get educated about what street art is, that it's not negative, that it's actually a positive message, that it actually beautifies the neighborhood, that it's, you know, that it has nothing to do with the gangs, that it, I mean, I think it's more educational, not only the business aspect of it, but, I mean, it's more to educate people about what street art actually is.
Yeah, sure. And that is something that I run across over and over as I explain to folks that there really is a lot of intricacies in this world, and street art is its own animal. So, that's admirable. And I think part of any gallery, education is a huge part of it. Folks don't usually realize that, how big education is, because most folks don't have much in aesthetic education, and they feel pretty insecure when buying art, I would say most folks, because they're uncomfortable with it. Yeah.
Well, education is key, and I want to say that's why we do our symposiums, our panel discussions. We've done two panel discussions that have been very successful. We've had a huge turnout. We've had a huge audience interest and audience being, and the audience being actually part of the symposium, where it was an open discussion. We had one about street art and about the conservation of the murals in Los Angeles and where the law stands, and it was very interesting. We stream it live on the internet, so anyone can sit down and log in and watch. Our second panel discussion was about collecting. Was about collecting street art. We had collectors here. We had artists. We had people who just sat in just because they were interested. They wanted to know more about street art. The more you know about it, the more you're interested in it. The more you're interested, the more you want a piece of it. The more you find it appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. I agree with you completely. It's just part of it. Your interest grows as you understand it more. And you actually, once you understand the players in as well and all the artists, you want more. You want to know more. You're hungry for it and what those things mean. So, no, that's fantastic. So I think probably a good place to end is, I mean, you mentioned you love L.A. street art, and specifically compared to the other cities and other parts of the world. And there's a lot of street art out there. And LA really hasn't had a lot of focus on its artists other than sort of viral web things. We've never had a book on it. It's never really been featured. And a lot of our folks aren't well known outside. I think it's becoming more and more with some of the things that you're doing. But why? What is it about specifically LA street art that you like? Is that thing that drives you?
Well, the way I see it is that, I mean, as a kid, I used to go to New York, and I'd see a lot of graffiti, and I used to see the trains, you know, the train cars full of graffiti and all that. And there was something about it that, I mean, I looked at it, it interested me, but it didn't have that same effect as LA street art. For some reason, LA street art has, it's colorful. There's a message. It's not just tagging. See, there's a huge difference between tagging and something beautiful, which is an image of, I'll give you an example, is an image of the Alec Monopoly, the Moneybags, Mr. Moneybags, just running around holding a bag of money, running away from a cop. It's funny because it reminds me of the Monopoly game that we play, but at the same time, it reminds me of Robin Hood. It's as if he's running away and, you know, he's robbing the rich and giving the money to the poor. It's something that brings back my childhood. It brings a certain feeling of, I want to say, maybe I'm using the wrong word, but safety. Because when I see it, it makes me happy. It makes me smile. So I feel safe.
I mean,
that's the way I personally view it. That's what I like about LA street arts. Is that I guess I grew up with it. I used to be in the clothing industry, and I used to be in downtown all the time. And I remember 15 years ago, or 16 years ago, I used to see the Andre the Giant everywhere. And I remember I used to say, what is this? I don't understand. But I was always fascinated by it. And I always wanted to do research and find out, what is this, and why are they doing this, and what is the message, and what... And here we are today.
Yeah. Yeah, and so almost what I hear you saying is that, I mean, there's a certain playfulness that perhaps is a bit more apparent in LA street art. I mean, it's playfulness in the subversive nature, but also the comic nature, the humor. There is street art that's serious, but there is a playfulness to it. And I think you do need to be a bit playful in order to do this.
Absolutely.
Because it is... It's an interaction with the environment, unlike anything else. So, well, that's super. Iskander, I really appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you for everything, and I can't wait to see your book come out. I can't wait to read.
Yeah, thank you. And if folks want to know more about Lab Art, where would you send them?
Well, they can go to our website, which is labartgallery.com.
Okay.
And we also have a blog site which has in-depth interviews with the street artists behind the scenes, and that is slabartblog.com.
Fantastic. And those symposiums that you mentioned are on YouTube. They're really easy to find.
They're on YouTube. They're on our website. Okay. They're everywhere.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. So folks out there should definitely check it out. So, yeah, I appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. And, we look forward to seeing more at Lab Art and more from your artists. So thanks so much.
Jim, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. And so if folks are interested in learning about the next interview next week or following more about the book and events, you can look us up on Facebook on the Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art Facebook page. But until then, we will see you next time. Thanks so much.